Welcome to
Wrinkled
Not Dead.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Mike.
We may be over 50, but we're here to prove we're still relevant.
And we have lots of real-world advice on confronting the challenges, but having fun getting older.
We're wrinkled.
Not dead.
Let's do this.
Hello, glad to have you with us on episode number 69 of Wrinkled Not Dead. I'm Mike Bell.
And I'm Jen Bell.
Lots of important things to talk about today, but first and foremost, we should mention that everything to do with Wrinkled Not Dead is found on wrinklednotdead.com. You can comment to us from there. You can listen to past episodes, and there's kind of a little bit richer format of the topics that we cover on wrinklednotdead.com. But one thing you always ask for, and I think it's wise, please share.
Share. And, you know, people can go to iTunes, too, if they want as well.
Yeah.
They don't want to go
right.
on to the blog.
Exactly.
But please, excuse me, I'm still getting over.
Well, you're
over,
still getting over this.
Yeah. Guys, I had pneumonia, and I'm doing much better, but excuse my voice from time to time.
Yeah.
This was crazy.
It was crazy.
But back to sharing with your friends and family, whatever you can do, that's great, because you know that's the best form.
Of advertising, and that's
Thank
where
you,
we
sir.
Come from, is the an advertising background, but now things are different. And podcasting and blogging has become a huge part of our lives. One nice thing about a huge part of our lives is once a week to talk about a rose and thorn.
Mm-hmm.
A rose is something great that happened during the week, and a thorn is something that's maybe not as positive, but we kind of get or learn something from it.
Exactly. So you start with your rose.
I will.
Because it was a good one.
It was a good one.
Yeah.
It's the most fun. Gosh. I went up to Canada, to Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, to work with the KO Group, a production company that I've worked for many years for a client called The Brick,
mm-hmm.
which is a very large nationwide company in Canada. And we were doing a tent sale. We haven't done something like this in a very long time. It was an outdoor event with the tent stuff instead
wow.
of like having, you know, the big graphics and the this and the that. No, no, really organic. Here's the tent and it's made out of canvas. And here's 70 extras on the chute. And here's this giant crane that we've got to work with. And it's like 8,000 degrees, right? And I'm bald as an egg, right? So, oh my goodness. I mean, all of us were kind of, it was working hard out there, but the fun we had with the crew and everybody, it was like family. It was wonderful, and I had a wonderful experience. Wes Doyle, my old buddy, was out there shooting this thing. He's a guy I've worked with 30 years. Robert Lennon, who will be on the show in about a few minutes, was there as
and
the director.
And his beautiful wife.
And his beautiful wife, Catherine. And they... Poor Robert. He was like herding cats to do with all this stuff.
But
anyway,
you're the spokesperson
I'm
for this
spokesperson.
Company called The Brick in Canada.
That's right. I
which is, and what they carry furniture, appliances, mm-hmm. video, and all of that. And you've been their spokesperson for how long?
40 years.
Wow.
I know.
Good job.
Well, it's a heck of a gig. Who
it
the heck
sure
gets
is.
A gig
so
like
you had
that,
fun
buddy?
Doing yet another commercial.
Yeah, but you know what's hard now? And this is my thorn. It's, you know, we have a very tight family unit here
mm-hmm.
at home. And I don't realize or appreciate as much as I should how much we interact on a daily basis in sharing the load of being a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm away, I feel for you because I think, oh my God, she's got all this to do and it's going to be all that and I can't be helpful. So I feel kind of guilty about it, but being away nowadays is a lot harder than it used to be.
So. Yeah, well, you know, get over it. Inner strength.
Inner strength.
Hey, I've got a rose.
Okay.
You know, there was that horrible hurricane
yeah.
in Texas, in particular, Houston. But you know what Southwest Airlines is doing?
No.
They're flying 80 animals from Houston to here in San Diego to Helen Woodward Animal Center to be adopted.
I looked
Isn't
into
that
this.
Fabulous?
The Helen Woodward Center, which is a place, you know, very typical
yeah.
in any city. You've got somebody who's really high quality people working to rescue animals. And there's loads and loads of them. It could have been another company or organization here in San Diego other than Helen Woodward. They sent an advance unit out to Houston to start to collect the animals. And I'm sure there's folks from all cities all over the nation who are doing the same thing. And I don't know how extensive this is, but Southwest has stepped up to do the transpo back here. And I think that is the darn nicest thing. What a contribution. It is a tremendous contribution. So bless them for that.
Well, remember how great Southwest was when we were bringing back Emma, the
mm-hmm.
rescue dog.
Absolutely.
And our rescue dog. So hats off to them. Now my thorn.
Okay.
My thorn is we ran out of power. We had an electrical outage. And it was for 12 hours while you were in
away,
Canada.
So like,
and so I was in charge of trying to open that darn garage door and, you know, close it. And of course, it's been very hot. We've had an absolute heat wave here.
It's bad down here.
And of course, the air conditioning went out. But it was kind of cool because I had all the dogs. There was no sound. It was so quiet. We had, you know, fake candles on and I had the flashlights. I got them all ready and set to go. And it made everyone slow down. It was kind of cool because the neighbors were out in the on the street drinking wine and going, when do you think the lights are going to come back on? They went out at 11:45 in the morning and they came back about midnight. So there you go.
Okay. But here's
it was a thorn, but it wasn't a bad thorn. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the thorn definitely came with a one extra element to it. So we called the Precision Doors or whoever they were.
This is a good idea for you guys with electric garage doors.
You know, anybody.
Listen to this.
You have a garage door. The thing weighs a ton. And so, you know, the door goes up and now you can muscle it away. The guy came out, terrific guy, the technician. Said, well, I could always put a battery backup in there. I went, what? And it's true, you can, but it cost, I mean, it was over $100, but not too much over $100. And it was a slide-in element. I mean, he said, it's going to take me 10 minutes to do this. Boom, went into the side of the motor. Boom, first time out the chute, garage goes up. He's holding the electrical cord in his hand. I thought, everybody in this neighborhood is going to want to have this.
And everybody people, needs them.
You know, you're 75 years old or 80
exactly.
years old, like some of our neighbors. They're not going to be reefing on that garage door.
You can't. It's really hard. You need two people to do that. You need to like pull that cord and then have somebody gently bring the garage door down or
this.
Up. Yeah.
Look, it's the cheapest way to have this peace of mind. The battery lasts like 7 years or something like that. It'll run for 72 hours straight without another charge. Lift and lower the door like 40 times.
Check it out. I'm telling you, you're going to love
this.
Oh,
it's fantastic.
Okay. I want to get to our guests.
I know. So
I'm so excited.
There I am in Edmonton. And, you know, Robert said, look, let's go out for dinner. We never do that because we're all exhausted after this shoot. We can't stand it anymore. That's Ricky Ricardo. He'll periodically make an appearance here. Anyway, so I said, yeah, you bet. Let's do it. And so we went out and I had just the most wonderful time. And this really does have a bearing on inner strength because Robert and his wife, Catherine Lennon, took their four kids off to Europe for 3 weeks. What has that got to do with inner strength? Ah, okay, I'll tell you. Is that they planned this trip to the nth degree, what they could do, show the kids how elaborate it has to be to make plans for this kind of trip. Knowing full well that their kids are going to remember this for the rest of their lives, they planned the itinerary to make things historically important, and they made it the most wonderful event. The kids are still talking about it, which is great, and they just did a great job, and they had, you know, there are times when I'm sure they just wanted to just relax for a couple of days, but dug deep and made this a wondrous event for their kids. And here is Robert and Catherine Lennon.
And then you can edit it as you go, right?
I mean,
you
I'm never going to edit it.
You're just going to go straight?
Every mistake everybody makes is going to be involved here because that's the way we roll on wrinkled knot.
Have you got a seven-second delay? Because I have quite a salty language.
No, we don't do the salty language on this show either.
Okay.
See, this is why I didn't even want to start this thing. You get involved with Robert Lennon, and he goes off on an immediate tangent just because he's pretty good at this. So, okay, great. You take the family to Europe. Whose idea was it to do that?
Whose idea was it? It was,
thank you. No, that's what happens. Yep, stuff happens and just go. Thank you. Kath and I
love to go to England. We've been to London four or five times in the last few years, and we've always wanted to share it with the kids. And we've always thought it's going to be very difficult to get them all there in one time. So we had an opportunity where a Disney cruise came up, and we've been on Disney cruises before as well. This is not in any way an advertisement for the Walt Disney Company or any of their affiliates, by the way. But anyway, so
here he is, the guru of advertising. He gives his own disclaimer, and you know.
But if Bob Iger is listening, if Bob Iger is listening and he'd like to send us a free one, we yeah, certainly wouldn't turn it down. So, but anyway, so then we saw that there was.
I've already lost control here. I don't want to do this anymore. Okay, first of all, how many kids kids do you have?
Oh, we have four.
So okay, we've got four, and give us the range.
We've got a 16-year-old daughter and an 11-year-old daughter. And by the way, her name is London. So that tells you how much we like going to England, because we named her after London.
Love.
And then we have two twins, boy-girl twins, 6 years old.
Okay.
So anyway, so we
now
saw...
Now they're game on for this.
They didn't have a vote on this. But what we found out is there was going to be a cruise around the British Isles in the summer of 2017, which they'd never done before. We thought, perfect. It would be a nice way to sort of get them there, get a little bit of a taste. We're going to get to different places throughout Great Britain. And so we booked it, and we had no idea how it was going to go. And we had lots of concerns about it, because we weren't sure. It was the total trip was over 3 weeks. We'd never gone on a trip that long with them.
Yeah, it's a long time.
So, and then we decided to bookend it by booking a couple of days in London on the way there and a couple of days in Paris on the way back. So, and that was quite exciting. We booked 5 days in London, and we Airbnb'd it, which was also a bit of a...
Oh, I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, we Airbnb'd it. Well,
did you arrange for that, Catherine?
I did, yeah. It's quite a hard thing, because you never know if the photos are going to be accurate or not. So when I was booking it, I hummed and hawed quite a while. But we thought we picked an area that we had stayed in hotels there before, so the area we knew was pretty good, and we were familiar with the tube stations and where the tube lines would go and everything, and it's pretty central, so it was in High Street, Kensington, so we thought, well, we've got nothing to lose. If it's terrible, it's only 5 nights, and...
It's only 5 nights.
Only 5 nights. Could be five
you
long
guys,
nights.
This is already inner strength, because you guys
this
are
is where
just...
our inner strength came, yes. But here's what happened.
Okay.
But here's
all
what
right.
happened. So, I'm sure a lot of your listeners have been to Europe, and they understand that the accommodations there can be small.
Very small.
Very small. So we honestly, I was quite expecting, because the pictures look pretty good, but I thought we're going to get there and it's going to be a couple of closets, basically, and we're going to have to jam everybody in. But honestly, we got there and it was quite spacious. It was a big space. Had, what did we have, two bedrooms? Two bedrooms in London. So there was lots of space. So space was not an issue. The only problem was it was a historic heat wave in London that week. It was like unbelievable, because London usually isn't that hot. We've never been there in the summer. We usually go in the spring or in the wintertime. So it was incredibly hot and humid. And the nice folks who booked us the Airbnb didn't think of giving us a fan. So we didn't have a fan. And
so nothing at all. There's no AC.
No fan. No AC. No. There's no AC. And then the other issue. So we were able to open up the windows, but we were right across the street from a police station. So
every time the police cars leave the police station, they have their sirens on all night. So you've got the windows open because you need them open for the heat, and then you've got the fire. Or the police cars going.
And it's great. I don't want you to think we're in a heavily crime-ridden area. I mean, but basically, even for a littering charge, they seem to send a car out with the alarm going. So it was a lot. There was a lot. So that it was tough to sleep, and so. But aside from that, it was excellent. We had a great time in London, and then we took a train down to Dover, and hopped on the boat there, and then we did this 13-day cruise. So we were able to sort of basically we were jumping on and jumping off. So we. We got off in Liverpool. We got off in Dublin. We got off in Scotland. We got off in several places just for a day at a time. So we'd get a chance to get there, take a look around, but then come back for the boat. So it really gave us a nice taste of several places that we would not normally have gone to.
This what prompted the entire interview was your predilection with the Beatles.
Right, yes.
And your dedication to the concept that your children must know where
Paul McCartney
was.
Well, I don't know. I actually, it was kind of embarrassing, because I've been a Beatle fan all my life.
I know.
It's sort of, I always say, if I have anything close to religion, it's the Beatles. So I've been a big fan. Here's the other thing, is my grandfather, who is allegedly John Lennon's grandfather's brother, so we're connected. My last name is Lennon.
Yes.
So we
wondered about that.
So we're distantly related. Now my grandfather left Liverpool pre World War I. So he never really connected with the rest of the family. We kind of got split up, but my dad, and he died before I was born. But my dad used to talk a lot about how he spoke about Liverpool, and he had all these areas that he was in, So for me, it was fascinating to be in Liverpool, because it was Liverpool's an old city, and some of the things, I mean, I never had a lot. I wish, my dad's since passed away, but I wish I'd have quizzed him a little more on some of the details. But
yeah,
it was fascinating to sort of walk those streets knowing that that is where my grandfather is from. So that was interesting. And then plus, every second place in every second location is a famous Beatles location.
You pretty much owned all of...
Yeah, so it was, so for me, I know too much about the Beatles, so I know too much about different locations and things. So
you can't be beat it.
Like, but so, it's, yeah, it's and like I say, it's a bit embarrassing, but so for me, it was fascinating, because around every corner, you'd be a place, it's like, oh, well, or we'd be driving by places, and it would be like, oh, you know, I know Ringo Starr actually lived there for 5 years.
So you're waxing poetic.
No, I kept it all to myself. No, but...
No, you didn't.
No, I kind of kept all that kind of stuff to myself, but the thing is that, obviously, Liverpool is highly Beatle charged, so
yeah.
We went on one of these bus tours, and it was actually kind of a cheesy bus tour, and I thought, oh, I don't even really want to go on, but the kids seemed to want to go, so it was great. They kind of touched on these places. We went to Penny Lane, we went to Matthew Street, we went to the Cavern. These are all famous places.
Oh, the Cavern.
The
yeah,
Cavern,
yeah,
yes.
I know.
And so they
was
kind
it
of...
Was it impressive? I mean,
the real one is gone. The real one's gone, but they've kind of built a replica of it, and it's fascinating. It's supposedly exactly the same size, and you know, I'd seen pictures, but until you actually see it, it's great.
So was there one impression that the kids got that you would say that would stay with them more than anything else, just about this Beatles revolution?
I think there's two things. They had a really cheesy yellow submarine parked in the
No, but it's supposed to be the real one.
No, it isn't. No.
Isn't a real yellow submarine.
No,
that was a figment of everyone's
imagination.
I was going to say,
it was in John Lennon's LSD laden brain. They painted one up. It's this cheesy kind of touristy thing. But my youngest son was fascinated by it and couldn't get enough of that. And then we went to Strawberry Field, which is. For me, actually, Penny Lane was the most interesting thing, because that is, if you know the song...
Oh, yeah, of course.
But every single thing... Yeah, anybody that's listened to it, listen to the lyrics. There's all these little mentions of locations and people, and it's all there. It's a real place.
Oh,
it's a roundabout,
so cool.
And there's a barber shop there that is allegedly where the barber took photos of his customers and all these other characters that talked around there. So for me, it was like, wow, this is fantastic. I didn't even really know. I knew it was a place, but I didn't know it was quite so literal what the song is about. So, and then the other thing is Strawberry Field, which is kind of just a little park. But there is a gate on it that I've seen pictures of, and I never realized what it is. And it's just where it is just fascinating, because it's right around where they all lived, where they were all born, and within walking distance of all these places. So you kind of got a sense of, wow, this was a place they hung out in and walked around and knew. So for me, it was fascinating.
So last question. Do you think the kids will remember this for the rest of their life, Catherine?
Yeah, I do. They have some really interesting memories from the whole trip. And it was, it wasn't... We went with an open mind as far as we just wanted to expose them to it. We weren't really expecting them to... I don't know. But it was really great. Yeah, they still talk about it.
They're already noticing when they're watching TV or they see a news article. They go, "Hey, that's London," or "That's the Eiffel Tower. We saw that." So I think it, no doubt about it, it will spur their interest in travel and history for the rest of their lives.
And that's life. That's inner strength. And that's Wrinkled Not Dead. Thank you, guys.
They're wonderful.
He's such a cool dude, too.
He's
got all the cool clothes and stuff like that. But he's a tremendous director, too. So I hope you guys enjoyed that, because, you know, I'm whenever I speak to this guy, it's always a hysterical event, because he's so whip smart. And Catherine is such a delightful person. I'm so glad to have finally met her after all this time.
Thank you guys so much for being on our show.
Jen's Health Minutes.
Oh, yes. Well, as I said, I've had pneumonia, and I had swollen lymph nodes.
Yeah.
And I went in after I was getting better for a thing called lymphatic drainage. So let me first tell you, lymph nodes are small bean-shaped glands throughout the body. They are part of the lymph system, which carries fluid, nutrients, and waste material between the body's tissues and the bloodstream. The lymph system is an important part of the immune system. It's the body's defense system against disease.
Okay. I saw a picture of that, and there are like little beans.
Mm-hmm.
And so what when you went, what did she do?
What she did was, it took about an hour, and she massages the lymph nodes. She did it from my neck up because my sinuses were really badly compacted and I couldn't really still breathe and I was still coughing. And she, their downward motion of stroking, kind of, as
like
much as I can
hard?
Say.
How hard?
Quite light.
Okay.
And she just massages down, strokes,
okay.
strokes down, and then makes her way from the neck all the way up into the sinuses and up around the eyeballs.
Uh-huh.
And by the time she was done, not only was I relaxed, but I was much clearer.
Can I ask you an indelicate question?
What?
Is it like snot rolling down
No, not at all. It just kind of seems to open all the airways up. It's almost like an anti-inflammatory, if you like.
Oh.
And I have to say, I didn't believe in it until I'd heard a lot about, everybody's talking about
lymphatic drainage,
this massages and that. It works. So if you're sick and you need to drain your lymph system, go for a lymphatic drainage massage.
Does she do it a lot? Do
she
people
does.
Ask
she
for
does.
It
a Yes, lot? She does. And you have to ask for it, though.
I know our goddaughter talks about doing this
she
all the
does.
Time.
She does. And I thought, it's whatever.
It's
kind of
today.
In your mind. You think it's the newest, latest thing. But it works. So try it out.
Well, that is really interesting. And so that's lymphatic drainage.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
And you can ask that of any massage therapist.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. Want a fun fact?
I do.
All right. This is a fun fact from my brother Glenn, who's an IT guy, lives in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Here's this. Listen to this one, folks.
Mm-hmm.
1992, there were only 50 web pages in the world. 1992.
Wow.
In 1999, or 91 rather, there was only one.
Oh my gosh.
So it went from one in 1991 to 50 in 1992. And in 1997, there were more than 15 million people online. Okay, so that's a lot.
It is a lot.
The world total now of these web pages is 7,519,000,000. Goes on and on and on. Can you believe that?
How it's exploded so quickly.
Yeah, yeah. And here's another one. Here's a little, just another factoid. Not only have we grown from 1991 with one website or one page to 7 trillion plus, but 49% of internet users are in Asia.
Wow. Well, that doesn't surprise me, actually.
8.1%. In North America.
Oh my gosh.
It's a
phenomenon. It's completely changed our life.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And the world. But
those are fun facts from my brother.
Love it. So now we're going to go into our main topic, which is inner strength. And I have a few little quotes here that kind of will slide in here. I'd like to.
All right.
Calm mind brings inner strength and self-confidence. So that's very important for good health. And that was from the Dalai Lama.
Oh, he said so many wondrous things, too.
And then I came across one. I thought, before we start, I've got to do this one. Remember The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
Remember Glinda, the Good Witch?
The Good Witch.
Well, when Dorothy was clicking her heels and she wanted to go home.
Yeah.
And, you know, she'd gone through all this turmoil and all this. Glinda came to her and said, "You've always had the power, my dear. You just had to learn it for yourself."
God. Do you remember the line from that?
I
don't.
I remember it because she'd gone through, you know, she tried to go to the Oz and this and that. But to get home was the power within herself. And all she had to do was click her ruby slippers 3 times.
Oh, yeah.
And she went home. But the thing was, the inner strength to go home was always in there. But she had to learn it for herself. And this is why we all have this inner strength, Mike. We just have to find it and know it's always been there and pull it out.
Okay. So we, the usual, we kind of dug around and made sure that we had a few salient points about inner strength. And then we're just going to touch on a few things that are like in the real world right now. But
mm-hmm.
the first, there's kind of 8 or 9 points here, but ask yourself why, then find the answer. Well, that's profound as hell.
It really is.
Why what? Why am I here? Why am I doing this? Why am I? Yeah, all that. I believe that. Why? Is a question that you have to ask yourself on a daily basis, I think, is why am I getting up this morning?
Yeah, and why, what is my purpose for what I'm going to do today?
Right.
And the second thing is put yourself first. You have to. Like I've always said, Mike, when they talk about in an airplane, you have to put your oxygen mask on first before you put it on your child.
That's right.
So you've got to get yourself in order first to find your inner strength.
Okay. Inner strength, train your mental and emotional body as well as your physical self. That's kind of hard.
It's well, first of all, it's keeping in shape, it's eating well, yeah. And then it's getting a calm mind.
Yeah, I know, but I thought this requires training that's other than obviously of lifting weights and doing all this other stuff is the physical thing that they're referring to here, but the emotional discipline or the discipline period of your approach to life is another thing that's mm-hmm. important. And it's not without, you know, a lot of work.
Everything
and
is
somebody,
work.
Sometimes you need help with that too.
Yeah, sometimes you need to go to a professional.
A trainer.
But you have to decide, commit, and then act.
Yeah.
And that means, you know, this is what I'm going to do. I'm committed to it. And this is how I'm going to get there. Remember Be, Do, Have?
Yes,
it's exactly that. It's finding that inner strength and going for it. And just deciding, this is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm. Don't let fear factor into your decision making.
Remember,
oh, now that's so.
We had the podcast.
Come on.
Fear of failure.
Oh gosh! I mean, we've hit on. I'll bet 15 episodes, one way or another. We've come back to what about fear? Fear of flying. Remember that mm-hmm. episode?
There's so much fear
in our
life. I
think that was episode 20, and mm-hmm. people still come back to us about that and their fear of flying.
Life is scary. There's no doubt about it. But you have to put that on the back burner and keep going. And as you get older, you realize life is really scary.
Yeah.
You just never know.
Because you've seen everything. Well, what was it last week? Been there, done that.
Been there, done
yeah,
that.
Yeah, been there, done that means, yeah, now you realize the train is coming down the track and you're standing on the track and it's going to smack you.
Yeah, and what are you going to do about it? Well, the next one is embrace what scares you. Okay, look at that train. It's coming down. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to jump out the way and let that sucker fly right by me.
Prepare somehow rather than cower in fear. Do whatever you can do to alleviate the fear, right? So
fear,
action.
Fear sort of only action. Paralyzes you. It doesn't move you forward.
Here's one that I know you're going to jump right on. Declutter your mind.
That's hard.
Well, I mean, isn't this the thing that you were going to talk about? We wanted to do a whole episode about meditation.
We are going to. Meditation is huge. I've only been to one true meditation class. Jennifer Lank, my friend,
conducted
the class.
That
she
one,
did,
yeah.
And she was wonderful. And I have to tell you, it was like 30 minutes. They say 10 minutes is good enough, but it was 30 minutes, and I came out feeling absolutely refreshed. So I believe in meditation. It's just taking the time to do it.
Let me ask you this about that. Did you feel refreshed or did you feel exhausted that you'd sort of mentally cleared out the attic?
I feel refreshed. It felt like my mind was moving faster and clearer.
Okay.
Because it really felt like sweeping the cobwebs out of the back attic.
Okay, so let me ask you this too. I mean, I'm sure there were other people there. Were they young people or older people?
There was a complete mix, which was beautiful. And everybody, and it was hard. It was hard to actually focus on breathing and just focus on being there. And that's what meditation is all about, is decluttering your mind. And I really believe in it. And that's one of my things that I'm going to start doing, is trying to figure out a good meditation program that I can do, that I can put into my daily life.
Well, even without a program, I've heard other people say they plan out their day by just lying there the first 5 minutes of awakening and visualizing what's going to take place throughout the day in a successful manner.
Well, Tammy Lee Webb talked about that on her first podcast that you produced with her.
I did.
And I took that to heart as well. It's just take 5 minutes to kind of plan your day.
It took her 60 days to get into the habit, by the way.
Wow.
So that, you know, circles back to one of the earlier comments about mental or inner strength taking some discipline. Well, she said it's 60 days. That's a long time.
It takes, I think, 60 days to do about just anything, to get into the swing of
a
diet,
program,
an exercise program, or anything. Yeah, so so be kind to yourself and take the time.
All right.
I like this one. Become your own best friend.
La, la, la,
no,
la.
No.
Come
you know
on.
What? I'm sick of people hating themselves, and I talk about it with myself. I'm too fat. I'm too this. I'm too old. I can't do this. You know, my eyes. You know what? You're good enough. You're smart enough.
No,
and God
no,
darn it.
No, no,
people like
no,
me.
No.
Al Franken.
Oh, no. Where do you come up with
I don't
this
know.
Garbage? Oh, my God. That's
Saturday
so
Night
funny.
Live.
No, that's so great. I mean, that you're on fire here. Jeez.
But it's true.
Who thinks of Al Franken at
I
a
do.
Moment like this?
If you don't love yourself, who's going to love you? I mean, come on. You got to show some self-respect
well,
to
no,
get inner
no,
strength.
No, I'm showing respect right now, pal, because coming up with Al Franken. With Al Franken. becoming your own best friend. That is there's a work of genius right there.
I know, but people laugh at it. But really, when you get all this stuff out of the way,
no, I'm laughing.
If you don't respect yourself, no one's going to respect you.
Okay, all right. Oh, Franken. Practice calm and I sound like one of the click and clack, the Tappet brothers or something. God bless them all.
On when NPR.
They're laughing like a clown with the car show. Practice calm and I miss that.
I do too. I love NPR.
Everybody loved that. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved that. Practice calm and self-control in adversity. Ooh. It says aggression eats away at strength and creativity, replacing them with hostility and closed-mindedness. Ah, well, we've seen all that in our life, haven't we?
We have. I know somebody at top of my mind
that was
like
Mayak that. Mayak Toon, and that voice and that name will not be spoken.
And panic. Do you know that panic weakens the soul, they say? It preoccupies the mind and prohibits you from really getting your goal. Panic is a roadblock. It's like this thing in front of your blind thing that comes in front of your eye.
Yeah.
And you can't do what you need to do.
Okay.
So you need to take a deep breath and say, I can do this. Because I want to tell you, when you feel like you can't go any further, just know that the strength which carried you this far will take you the rest of the way.
Well, that's pretty darn profound. Where did you dig that up?
Well, I just did. You get so far. You know that strength is in you because you've come so far.
Well, that's true. No,
so you can keep going. It's just dig down and say, this is what I want, and say, I deserve it.
Okay. Okay, lightning round on this. I'm throwing that right
okay,
out here
fine.
Right now.
I don't care.
Because these are words from other people, right?
And right.
These, yeah, okay. So right. Now here we are. Here I've taken bullet points.
Mm-hmm.
So lightning round, inner strength, people of Houston.
Mm.
In the moment. There's mm-hmm. inner strength, but it's a different. This is what's cool about this topic. They have inner strength, but they are in the moment. All the first responders, all the folks from the Red Cross, all the people from Helen Woodward collecting the animals, all the people who have lost their homes, sitting on top of the roof, waiting to be rescued by folks from out of state with a boat. They're in the moment, and the inner strength is in every variety. I mean, I think about the guy dragging his boat from another state altogether, from Louisiana, to go and help rescue folks in Texas. And somewhere, that family had to decide, put inner strength in there. We're going to drive all that way. We're going to do this, and it's going to be miserable condition. They did it.
Because it was always there. The strength was
always
in there.
The strength was there.
But you know what? Sometimes, not panic, but sometimes devastation pulls it out quick.
Yeah, well, I guess that's my point.
It clears everything.
Yeah, this isn't a discipline from, this is right now, it's happening now, and I have the strength to do it.
You're able to see clearer mm-hmm. when you're under that kind of stress.
Okay, another one, bullet point. Go ahead.
Our grandparents, mm-hmm. during the Depression and all the wars that followed, when I think of my mother as a young girl during World War II and things blowing up around her, man, she had to find inner strength fast, and she was just a young girl of 19.
That's right.
And she had to find it, and then they had to live through the war, and then they had to live in England, London, during after the war,
mm-hmm.
when everything was rationed. Well, where did they find that inner strength?
Yeah, through necessity, partially.
Exactly.
But, yep.
But it was always there. They just... The war brought it out in them.
This is more esoteric. Older people downsizing or starting over. I mean,
exactly.
You have to dig deep now. You get complacent. I mean, who does not get complacent when for 40 years you've done this or whatever, or 30 years or 20 years, but even after 10 years, you're kind of digging your way into something that's, you know, a groove, and suddenly you have to change that? That's not easy. It takes inner strength to do it. To address it.
So you guys that are listening, if you feel, you know, I've had it. I'm in my 50s, 60s, 70s. I can't start anything new. I'm done.
Right.
It's wrong. You've got it in there. We're living longer. You deserve to keep going. You have to love yourself enough to keep going.
And people going through, again, bullet points. People going through hard times financially or worse than all of it.
Health.
It's bad health.
Health, and again, I know I only had pneumonia, so I mean...
Only? Oh my
but
God,
no,
you
no,
were
no,
sick
No,
pup.
No, there's people that are a lot sicker than me, but I'm telling you, like I said, my sense of smell is back, my health is back. You got your health, man. You got everything, and you need to just keep going. And if you have a dream out there and you're 77 years old, you deserve to go and get it because you can, and the internet has made it a lot easier.
Let me put a button on this.
Okay.
I wanted to address people with issues on inner strength who have no one else to share their difficulties with. You and I are lucky.
Very lucky.
We've been married almost 34 years.
Uh-huh.
We're partners in everything that we do. We face our our demons or difficulties together. But what if you're not? What if your husband or your wife has passed, or you never did get married, or you did however it is, and you end up confronting these things by yourself? Well, you know, those are the folks that I really, really, really send my heart out to. Because dealing with this by anything by yourself is so much more difficult.
Yeah, I mean, you need to reach out, though, at that point, too, because you do have friends. You do have church members. You do have the person at the grocery store. There are people. It's amazing, Mike, how many people want to help and share.
Yeah, yeah.
People are potentially, I mean, really, most people are very good, and they want to give. And so if you're feeling alone, you're not alone. Number one, you've got this podcast. You can reach out to us.
Yeah.
We're always here for you.
We'll always be here for you. Time off.
Yes, let's talk. Time off is when...
I think we exhausted that.
Well, we try to find something inexpensive and fun for people like us that are on a limited budget now.
Okay, so mine was returned because I was born and raised on the prairies.
Mm-hmm.
So,
in Alberta, Canada.
In Alberta, Canada. And so my trip up to Edmonton, Alberta reminded me about the huge prairie sky and the wonderful, wonderful air that comes down from the mountains.
Fresh air of Canada.
Yeah, yeah. And the crops are coming in now, and it's been a good year for that, and people seem to be in a good mood up there regardless of what's going on around them. It was just a wonderful thing to get up in the morning and just sniff it in.
Yes.
It was great.
Sniff it in, smell the air. I keep going on about my sense of smell, but I'm telling you, this schnoz is important to me.
I know it is.
Okay, my time off was resting to get better.
Okay.
And it's hard just to do nothing and rest.
For you it is.
It really is.
Me, no problem.
But you know what? You just need to do it. When you're not feeling well, if you're feeling coming down with something, take that day off and just rest. Because in the long run, it'll do you well.
I mean, know. But how do you make yourself do that?
You just have to.
Yeah, I know.
That's all there is to it. You know, don't keep pushing yourself. Listen to your body.
I know, but people always say, well, you should be resting today. Sometimes it's easier said than done.
Okay, remember when?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Remember, we've got a good one, you guys.
Oh, this
we always
is good.
Try to look back on, you know, our readers and our listeners are older. So
yeah.
Remember when?
All right. Guns N' Roses was formed 31 years ago. God, oh, boy.
Remember Scooby-Doo, you guys?
Yeah.
He made his first appearance 47 years ago.
The movie E.T. was released 34 years ago.
No. Cyndi Lauper is 63 years old.
Punk.
I know.
First compact discs, CDs, were sold 34 years ago.
Remember,
you thought we got this thing to record on with a new chip and it's got 64 gigabytes and it's the size of like my thumbnail. Basically.
I know, it's crazy.
And you thought it was going to be in a CD.
I did.
Forget it. They
I know.
Don't exist anymore. Go
Remember
ahead.
Laverne and Shirley?
Sure.
Well, that was 40 years ago.
Hands Across America took place 30 years ago.
Pac-Man, remember Pac-Man, was released 36 years ago.
Okay, and the first Walkmans, remember how proud people were when they got the first Walkmans were sold 37 years ago.
So it says, still feeling old, don't worry.
Don't worry about it.
It doesn't matter, but I mean, God, life goes by fast, and things now are moving at electric speed, don't you think?
Oh, I know. That's the fun of it, though, too. It's keeping up with it is the tricky bit. But if you decide to do that, keep up with what's going on around and in the world, you'll never get old.
Yeah, surround yourself with young people,
Absolutely.
Too. It's great. And vice versa. Young people, okay. Surround yourself with people that are older and have great inner strength. So we leave the show with some quotes.
Yeah, I've got one here. And I have to tell you, we're big Mike Rowe fans.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I've already reached out to Mike Rowe.
I want him on our show. Please, Mike Rowe.
I know. I told him we do Wrinkled Not Dead.
Mm-hmm.
We're desperately happy if he would come on the show because his perspective on the world the way it is in America and North America in general is fantastic. But he has said so many great things,
too.
All of his shows are wonderful. His voice is wonderful. I'm jealous, even. Happiness does not come from a job. It comes from knowing what you truly value and behaving in a way that's consistent with those beliefs. Many people today resent the suggestion that they're in charge of the way they feel. Those people are mistaken. That was a big lesson, and I learned it several hundred times before it stuck. What you do, who you're with, and how you feel about the world around you is completely up to you.
That is fantastic.
Love that guy.
I love it. Just straight talk.
Yeah.
Well, I have one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A diamond is a chunk of coal that did well under pressure. Guys, go out there and become that diamond. Because you know what? We are the generation with inner strength. Because we weren't born yesterday.